I think all of us can relate to Cindy. We all have either been there or know people that are in that position right now. And bravo for Cindy to actually find the route to help her get the education that she needed to be able to take the step and find the resources. That's terrific. If you have a will, you have the desire, you can educate yourself and find a way to improve your position. But my personal favorite story is the next one, and that's about Dale and Susie. This example is looking good, but going nowhere. They are the typical middle-class family who actually live the cash flow pattern of the middle class. They buy liabilities they think are assets, but they look good. The problem we find with Dale and Susie is one of a relationship issue as well. Husband and wife love each other, have children, but they have different philosophies about money. And with that, Diane, tell us about Dale and Susie.
Well, I've got to say that the way we all view people like Dale and Susie, and I bet anything that you know somebody, our listener out there knows somebody like this. They look very prosperous, and we might on the outside really judge them as being, boy, they are living the American dream. They have a nice house in the suburbs, and they've got two new cars and a boat, and maybe they've got a snowmobile and a jet ski, depending on where you live. The idea is, though, that they really are living the good life. Well, that's the surface. Let's open the door and step inside their house. What's really going on is Dale has a good job. Well, he has a good paycheck that may or may not be there from month to month. He works for a large company. He's a manager supervising a workforce of about 30, but he's seen a lot of departments in his company shut down. He's seen his peer group losing their jobs, and he's in his mid-40s. There aren't a lot of jobs for middle managers out there anymore, and he's worried. Susie, on the other hand, she's got a job she absolutely hates. Dale might like his job. Susie hates hers. She's guilty for the time that she spends away from her children. She wishes that she had more time with them, more time for her community, more time for her aged parents. And she's tired all the time. She just wants the situation to be different. In Susie's case, what she wants to do is compensate for the time she's away from her children by getting them lots of toys. And she also wants to make sure they're getting all the best. I mean, the kids have music lessons, and they are involved in sports. And because she's so tired, they eat out all the time. A lot of expenses go into their life. Now, what Dale has decided is his plan for how he's going to solve this is he's going to be a really smart investor. Well, he thinks he's a smart investor. He gets involved in what we like to call GRQs, that's get-rich-quick schemes. He has lots of friends involved in the financial community or who know somebody who's involved in the financial community. And based on these tips, these hot stock tips, he'll invest. And he's gotten involved in a lot of pre-IPO. In other words, these are the insider trading kind of things before a company's going to go public. And every one of them has lost. Now, the problem that's happened is Dale has used money that he's taken from his credit card. He's used money that he's mortgaged from his house in order to invest in these deals. And as he gets trapped into each one, it becomes worse and worse. He's got to get the next big one to get him out of the hole he's in.
And Susie, if you remember, when I read your story, I think it's really important to highlight this. She was like so many women I know today who she didn't want to have anything to do with the money. She wanted to have her focus on taking care of the home, taking care of her children, her job, and she relied on Dale to take care of the money. So they were getting deeper and deeper in debt, and she didn't know about it.
That's right. The problem that often can happen, it's not only she didn't want to know about it, but because they had such different fundamental issues on what they wanted, they couldn't even talk about it. As Sharon talked earlier, you can have a goal of being secure, of being comfortable, or of being rich. You know, deep down, Susie just wanted to be secure. Deep down, Dale wanted to be rich, and he was willing to jump the other steps to get there. The problem was Susie wasn't willing to do that, and Dale had a family to take care of meanwhile. So the first step they needed to do is get their financial statement in order. They needed to look at, where are you today? And to be honest, it was more painful for Dale and Susie than I think it's ever been for anyone, because they had to get honest about what was going on, and Dale had to get honest with Susie about what was going on. So let's look at the financial statement that Dale and Susie put together. By the way, Susie did help with this. This might be the first time that she really understood what was going on with the financial statement, and it wasn't pretty. In fact, as you look at the income amount, all of their income comes from their jobs. And when you look at their expenses, there's a lot more in expenses than there is in income. Also, look at all the liabilities. They have credit card debt, they have car loan and a car lease. They have a student loan. They have three mortgages on their house. By the way, the reason they have three mortgages is Dale had seen a great deal for being able to wrap all your credit card debt into a home mortgage loan. So he'd added on a second and a third as a way to try to write off all of these expenses. Well, every time he did, he got more credit cards. So he just got back in the hole. So after Dale and Susie had finished the financial statement, they looked at what the key indicators were for them. They didn't keep any money. In fact, they spent more every month.
So they just kept getting deeper in debt, Diane, right?
Absolutely. What they did is they either got another new credit card in the mail and used it to roll over debt, or took an advance from one credit card to pay off another.
That's one of my real bugaboos about credit cards. I can get very passionate about this subject because you get a credit card, and as long as you pay the minimum balance each month, you still have good credit. And what happens? You're a good credit risk because you're paying the minimum amount, so you get another credit card. So you keep getting new credit cards. Soon you'll find 8 credit cards in your purse or your wallet, and you're still paying the minimum amount. At some point, you end up building a house of cards because you get to the point where you can't even afford the minimums anymore. And then you're definitely in trouble.
Right. And that house of cards, which happened to be credit cards, collapse.
Yep.
So for Dale and Susie, they were quickly getting to that point. And all of their assets, practically all of their assets, were doodads. They had a great house. Remember, they had the really nice looking house and a couple of new cars and the boat. They had lots of nice stuff. By the way, Dale needed to have a boat and he needed to have the golf clubs because he needed it to show other people at work that he was prosperous. Well, that's what he said to himself. That's why he needed them. So Dale and Susie came up with their own 5-year plan. One of the biggest issues for Dale was finding someone he could trust. He'd always been his own financial planner and his own tax preparer. See, one of the problems was Dale was really smart, and he knew it. He was smarter than most people around him, so he wanted to be able to do this himself because he knew he could figure it out. The problem with that reasoning, though, is Dale doesn't have enough time to be an expert in everything, and he slowly agreed to that plan. First, though, they realized they needed to do something about reducing their debt.
And that was even before they came up with their overall financial plan. If you remember, we talk about a financial plan to be secure, comfortable, or rich. Those weren't even possibilities for them. They had to first get out of the deep hole that they had been in. They dug themselves so deep. If you remember, Rich Dad's saying is, what do you do when you find yourself deep in a hole? Stop digging. So Dale and Susie had to stop digging before they could start talking about security, comfort, or rich.
You're absolutely right, Sharon. And that was a tough pill for Dale to swallow. I mean, he still had this idea he was going to be rich. He wanted to make his family secure because he was going to be rich. He didn't quite understand what security meant other than if you had a lot of money.
He also wanted to do it overnight. He didn't want to take the time to really learn how to do it with financial education, but he wanted to hear the tip in the elevator, the tip by the cab driver, run in, invest in a stock, and get rich overnight.
That's right. He came up with a plan, or the two of them did, that they were first going to reduce the debt and then find a CPA to help them with the tax records and prepare tax returns if necessary. And then as soon as the debt is reduced, conservatively invest true assets. Well, let me tell you what happened. They made really good progress. Dale did find a CPA he could work with. They started changing some of their habits so that they were able to reduce debt.
And that CPA found them additional expenses that he could have been taking all along, but it was because his own personal lack of knowledge, lack of financial education, he'd been costing himself money in taxes, hadn't he?
That's right. Remember, Dale is not stupid. Dale is a very smart person. And so this isn't a judgment on should he have known those deductions. It's a question of, is that his best use of time, keeping up on all the, there's currently 500,000 pages in print of tax law, 500,000 pages. Can you expect an average person to know that for your own situation? Of course not. I don't think a CPA can know all of that. So the answer was finding good advisors. Now, let me tell you the part of it that wasn't quite so great in Dale and Susie's story. Again, like I said, this is a true story. They were almost out of the woods. They'd almost completed their 5 years of debt reduction, almost out of debt with all of the unsecured debt. Dale still felt he had the need to play catch up. You know, all of his buddies had 401k plans and had done well in the stock market. Well, at least that's what they all told him that they'd done well. He felt a driving need because he knew he was as smart or smarter than most of them. He had to win. So he heard about a deal. An old college buddy of his had a friend who worked at the bank, and there was a rumor flying through town that a local company was being courted by a large publicly traded company. Now, anyone who's ever seen that happen knows what happens to the small company when they get bought. Their stock goes through the roof. So he had an insider tip. The thing he didn't realize was by the time it got to him, everybody in town knew it, and that's not an insider tip. And in fact, what had happened was everybody in town that was inclined to do this had already jumped on the bandwagon. And so the cost of this penny stock was rising. It used to be 10 cents a share. It's now 50 cents. It's gone up five times. For Dale, that was validation. This was the right decision. See, we're on the climb. Let's buy it. Well, of course, he hadn't thought that the climb was all because of this local action. The hoped-for deal never came through, and Dale heard that it was falling through, but he was busy at his job, so he didn't have a chance to get out of the stock. By the time he got out, it had gone even lower than it was initially. He'd lost it.
But the kicker was he borrowed against his credit cards to invest in the stock. So when he sold it at that low amount, he still had the debt on his credit card. So he found himself right back in debt, right?
That's right. He had this credit card debt that it was all because of the idea that I want to go for this get rich quick. Now, I'm going to take a moment here and tell you that both Sharon and I invest in pre-IPOs and in deals that might come up like this. The difference is that we will use money we have set aside specifically for that purpose as part of the financial plan. I'm not saying what Dale did was a stupid idea. I mean, maybe this thing had gotten bought by the other company. Maybe the stock would have gone up 100 times. But he used debt to finance a highly risky venture.
And this is also where we talk about emotional control in investing, and we'll get into that even more later. But he let his emotions make decisions. We've all been guilty of that. I mean, I've had a stock personally that I invested in. It was like, okay, I heard it from a friend and back up the truck, buy it all. And I did because I said somebody I trusted, somebody I respected said, this is a great stock. I know it's going to go high. I lost quite a bit of money on that stock, but it was money that I had the ability to lose. I didn't borrow that money to risk it. I risked money that I didn't need for mortgage. I didn't need it for food. I didn't need it for my family. It was money that I had the opportunity to invest with. Was it a wise decision? Certainly not. It was a perfect example of how emotions can control you. And you make a decision that's an emotional one, you're not acting as an investor. You're acting as someone who wants a get-rich-quick scheme. And it's very important to know the difference.
And so finally, for Dale and Susie, there was a true learning through all of this. And as we talked in the beginning, some of these stories have great success. Some have moderate success. And you know, in some ways, I think maybe Dale and Susie's was one of the most successful because as a result of this, they got closer. They talked about their finances. They made an agreement that every month they needed to jointly work on their plan and together come up with the solution and the goals that will make both of them happy.